Building a big board for the Tennessee Titans in the NFL draft. We're looking at the best options available, not just at number 4, but what the big board looks like at the top of round 2 and the top of round 3. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, and my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, it's the week before draft week. Happy Monday. How is it going today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Busy around my parts. I'm trying to put a bow on all these interviews and different evaluations and big boards and mock drafts and rankings and all kinds of things. So busy week, but I'm excited. We're getting closer to the Tennessee Titans actually making their decision at number 4 overall.
Yes, Justin, I spent a large chunk of this weekend doing my own personal research, tweaking my... I've had a mock draft, like a first-round mock draft running in my head, some notes scribbled down for weeks now. Finally put it all on paper, did the research, looking at every team's reported connections, targets, who the beat writers are expecting the team to zero in on. It's been fun getting this close to it, and I will be publishing my draft for your site later this week. But that is for another time. I'm excited for the draft. Finally get those questions answered. Today, we're building big boards for the Titans. We're going to build a big board for each of round 1, round 2, and round 3. We know the options in the first round. We're going to rank them again based on how we feel today. You know, things change as the draft process plays out. And then we're going to look at sort of the guys that we hope fall to pick 35 and who they might be considering if all those guys do not fall. And same thing for pick 66. We're looking at all 3 rounds, big boarding it out, not necessarily what we think Mike Borgonzi is doing, but how we would do it, because we thought about doing it how Mike Borgonzi is doing it, but like, we're just guessing, right? We have no way of knowing what Mike Borgonzi is doing. What value really is there in us building it that way?
Yeah, we're not Mike Borgonzi, contrary to popular belief, but we're going to have some fun doing it ourselves, and I'm sure mine's going to look different than yours, and I've been working on it this morning, and like you said, things change, so I've got 6 players I wrote down for number 4 overall, the most common 6 prospects that are connected to the Titans, and I'm excited to give my order, excited to give yours, and see how different they are from one another.
Yeah, let's get into it, Justin. Let's start with, we're using the PFF customized big board builder here. This is the best tool to illustrate what we're talking about. If you're listening to us on an audio platform, consider checking out the YouTube show so you can follow along. We get it if you're driving or doing chores that you can't necessarily follow along, but we appreciate everybody watching and listening. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video, and comment below as we go. Justin, the top player on our big board for pick number 4, I think we have a consensus between you and I here, so let's just write it in. I think this might surprise some of our, you know, Audible Army dedicated everyday viewers, but it's not Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I thought we were going to do them separately because I didn't think we had a consensus on number 1, to be honest. I'm learning this on the fly, ladies and gentlemen, that Graver agrees. I thought I was going to have to be the bad guy here and be the unpopular one, but number 1 for us, I guess, in agreement, is Arvel Reese, Ohio State linebacker / edge, hybrid defender, whatever you want to call him. I've been big on Arvel Reese the entire time. I have not changed my mind. I don't know that... I think Atlas is watching this right now, freaking out. I think he hates Arvel Reese, if I recall correctly. Just the flexibility that he'd bring to the defense and what he could do for Robert Saleh's defense. I fully believe that he's going to be able to make a full-time transition to pass rusher and rush off the edge. He's super athletic, and he generates a ton of power and rushes the pass with a lot of strength when he meets offensive tackles sort of at the apex, if you will. I'm a big, big fan. I'm buying into the transition here. There are obviously lots of people in the NFL scouting circles who are Arvel Reese fans. We're not alone on this. There's lots of big boards you could find out there, popular big boards where he's the number 1 ranked player. I think the world of Arvel Reese. I'm super excited for him. And I know the there's some projection here, and that's going to make some people uneasy. I'm excited about the projection. You know, Micah Parsons was a projection, a projectable pass rusher. Abdul Carter was a projectable pass rusher. I think the world of Arvell Reese, and I see something similar in his future.
I think there's also like a bigger floor to him when you're talking about the ability for him to play off ball, potentially on early downs. Maybe you don't want to throw too much on his plate as a rookie, but by all accounts, he's a very cerebral player who could pick up and potentially do some of those things if you know he's not setting the edge as well as you'd like as a rookie, even though his knockback power and strength for his size is incredible. I don't think it'll be an issue. And the thing that really sold me on Arvell Reese was the interview he did recently with Benjamin Solak, where I don't know if you have seen this. There's clips floating around on Twitter. If you're an Arvell Reese fan or not, I encourage you to go watch this just to learn more about this player. He didn't work on pass rush moves. He did not practice as an edge rusher. He practiced as a linebacker. And he's just such a freak athlete with such great instincts that he's able to like string together pass rushing moves that he didn't even know what to call when he was at Ohio State. They didn't use him primarily as an edge rusher, right? He floated back and forth. So he would go up to that spot and rush the passer and do a little bit of a hesitation false step, pull out a cross chop arm move to knock down the tackle's hands and like side swipe around. Like he was just doing this stuff instinctively reacting to what the tackle's doing. And once a NFL team, especially a defensive player developer like Robert Saleh, gets their hands on a guy like Arvell Reese, I truly do think the sky's the limit. I think the Titans would deploy him as a full-time edge rusher. And I think he's the kind of guy that you build a defense around, like a franchise type of player, like a Micah Parsons or, I mean, dare I say, a Myles Garrett. I don't think he's on that same level in terms of polish coming out of college, obviously, but he has that kind of ceiling to be one of the best, you know, one of the five best edge rushers in the NFL by the end of year two. And I don't think the Titans could pass on that positional value, the premium pick here. It's the kind of foundational piece that Robert Saleh would love to begin his second coaching tenure with. I don't think he will be there at pick four, Justin. I'm buying all the smoke about David Bailey going number two overall. But I'm also, I can't, like everything I just said about Arvell Reese, like the Cardinals, if they passed on him, I think they would be making a mistake. Even if the Cardinals are scarred by the ghosts of Isaiah Simmons and the other two, Zaven Collins and the other hybrid guys that they've drafted, like they would trade out of this pick and somebody else would come up for Arvell Reese. So I don't think Arvell Reese makes it to Tennessee, but if by some miracle he did, I would sprint the card in. As much as I personally love Jeremiah Love, no matter what, I would sprint the card in for Reese. So.
Well, I don't know that it's no matter what, because it's really if Arvell Reese is off the board, you got to change the sign. You need a bigger sign so you can write more words on it. and look, Robert Saleh's presence here is a big reason why. Yeah. I would have so much confidence in this pick. You know, we know his work with linebackers, his work with edge rushers. I'd feel pretty good about it. Moving on to number two, we, of course, once again have a consensus here between you and I. Surprise, surprise, it is Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, a.k.a. the best prospect in the NFL draft. Yes,
on offense.
Bit of a devalued position. On offense, you said?
Yeah. I mean,
no,
we just talked about
Reese.
I still
think he's the best player in the NFL draft.
Okay, so it's a premium position argument to put Reese at number one on our Titans board then.
For me, it is. I mean, for you, you can decide what it is for you. For me, it's a premium position thing. I still think, I'm not changing my tone. I've always called Jeremiah Love the best player in the NFL draft, but he does happen to play a bit of a devalued position. And I do think the world of Arvell Reese as a pass rusher, a premium position, that's my thought process on this one, but I don't got to spend a lot of time, I don't think, talking about Jeremiah Love. This is the unofficial Jeremiah Love podcast, thanks to you. We owe him 70% of our earnings, I think, because we mention his name so often on here. number two for me, consensus, Titans big board.
Yeah, to me, this is a no-brainer. I think, again, Reese will be off the board. I think Love will be the pick. It just helps Cam Ward so much. You know, I watched a video recently. There's a guy on YouTube, I can't remember his name, and I apologize, who just basically like reacted to an ESPN segment and talked about the unspoken, kind of unrealized impact that a player like Jeremiah Love has. Like, he's not just another productive running back. He truly redefines the identity of your offense. And we've had reports that, recent reports that Brian Daboll would be pounding the table for him. I mean, I don't know how trustworthy these reports are. It's from Giants people who say that, like, if the Titans go Love, it means Daboll won or whatever, which I don't know how you come necessarily to that conclusion. I think Robert Saleh was around Christian McCaffrey enough to know the value of a player like this. But yes, it's an obvious one at two for us. Number three, I think, is where things get interesting, because you and I are not the biggest fans of Texas Tech edge rusher David Bailey. I also think it's all, like, it's getting as close to a certainty as anything beyond Mendoza is going to get in this draft that he goes to the Jets. So I don't know that we need to spend a ton of time talking about him. Like, realistically, I don't think the Titans will have a shot at him. Are you putting David Bailey three, or do you have a different order for the next guy on this list?
I think I have a different order personally, and I know it's not going to be super popular, but I think the next four players you could argue in some sort of different order, right? Like, I think it, for me, Reese and Love are clearly, and you could switch up that order too, but like Reese and Love should clearly be most people's 1-2. I'm going to go Carnell Tate here. And I don't know that that's super popular, but what's, you know, I see him as a similar caliber-ish of prospect to the rest of the guys who are on the board. And for me, this is about investing in Cam Ward. It's about, yeah, you know, having a sophomore quarterback who went number one overall and trying to ensure that he reaches his ceiling. And look, I don't know that Carnell Tate, I've kind of said that he's probably not worth the number four overall pick. I've also got him number three here. But then again, I think there's a good chance that he goes, you know, number six or seven even. So, if, you know, the Cleveland Browns take him at six. Is it crazy to take him at four? That's a conversation that I always like, you know, having. I don't think Carnell Tate's the best player or the best overall prospect in this scenario, but what's kind of pushing him to number three on my big board here is, you know, the impact for Cam Ward.
I agree. And the fact that he could play on the outside, big bodied, contested catch, vertical winner, the kind of receiver that I think the Titans need most, and that is not as abundant in this draft class as some of the like shiftier yak guys, which are also valuable and would be valuable, but the Titans just obviously signed Wandale Robinson to a massive contract. I don't think they invest high draft capital in a guy that has to play a lot of his reps out of the slot. Carnell Tate's not that guy, so I totally buy the argument for making him the number three player here. Let's continue moving through this. Number four on your big board, would it be? I think the options are obvious. It's Sonny Styles, it's Reuben Bain, it's David Bailey, and then it's potentially a tackle, a safety, a cornerback. But I think the next most obvious ones are those other guys first.
I think we should probably put David Bailey here. And, you know, maybe, you know, yes, this is our opinion. But for me personally, I'm not trying to pretend to be Mike Borgonzi, but I'd like to think about what the Titans would consider. And listen, we've pushed him far enough. That's part of the reason I'm including him here. He might be number one for the Titans. You know, you and I have talked about how his profile seems to fit what Robert Saleh craves in a wide nine pass rusher. So I think there's a decent chance that he's number one. So I think we've, you know, for the Titans specifically. So right. I think you and I have cooked our own analysis into this enough by pushing him this far. I think pushing him any further might be a little outrageous, maybe letting our, you know, bias. I mean, we've watched the tape and formed an opinion, so I hate to call it bias because this is our analytical in-depth opinion here. So, but I think we've pushed him far enough, and we have to acknowledge that the Titans might love him and he might be number one on Robert Saleh's wish list. Look, 14 and a half sacks last year, heck of a pass rush win rate, super athletic, is, you know, has a hell of a spin move, you know. Again, might be the Titans' go-to at number four here.
Yeah, I definitely think we are lower on him, and we are letting our opinion color that. Like, but that's the whole point. That's what we're doing. So, yes, David Bailey, probably the obvious fourth. Now, Reuben Bain is an interesting case, Justin, because there's been a bunch of reporting around Reuben Bain that sort of came out over the weekend about a car accident that he was involved in that caused a fatal injury back in 2024. How much is this affecting his stock? We also had last week, we played and talked about the Daniel Jeremiah report that Reuben Bain, he doesn't get the sense that the Titans are a Bain team, is what he said. He said, we'll see how accurate that information is, but right now what I'm hearing is that Bain is not... the Titans are not looking at Reuben Bain. So do we go Reuben Bain next because he's the other edge rusher and he's been consistently linked as an option to the Titans here? Or do we pivot and say we'd rather we'd rather see the team draft Sonny Styles. Like, I know you've consistently held the line that Reuben Bain is a good football player. Arm length be damned. Is that enough to put him at number five on your board?
This is interchangeable to me, to be honest with you. And I'm not doing this because of the report, because, for example, Brad Holmes just said right now as we're live here, as we're doing the show, we're not live. Brad Holmes just said, we've known about that for a long time and it changes nothing for us. So I think that's the general sentiment around the league. Obviously a very serious situation. I don't even love talking about it because it's incredibly serious. I also don't love the timing of the way it came out from the journalist's POV. It's been known for a long, like, this is not new information to teams.
Right.
It might be new to the public. I just don't love the timing of it personally. I don't want to call it, you know, what I feel like it might be, but I don't love the timing of it. But on the flip side, obviously a very serious situation, not something that just gets swept under the rug. But the fact that it's been known for so long and a week before the draft just kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
I feel you.
So I'm not letting it impact this personally, but I am letting what I think the Titans, how they might view this, impact this. And I am going to go Sonny Styles, impact the board. So I go Sonny Styles five. I think he's, first of all, I think he's likelier to be seen as a blue chip prospect by NFL teams. I think he's going to get drafted earlier than Reuben Bain. So I let all of that kind of factor in. Robert Saleh's love and appreciation for linebackers, his history with what he's done with linebackers. But this is really, really interchangeable to me, to be honest. I just think, will the Titans draft Sonny Styles before Reuben Bain? Yes, I think they would. And I'm letting that, you know, play a role here.
I agree. So let's put Bain sixth then. And we can add a couple more names to this list just to round it out. We're not going to spend as long because anyone else that gets added is a trade down candidate or somebody that they would only get to if they traded down. I think the next highest player, I mean, there's three other players we're going to add here, and the order doesn't really matter. It's Maui Noah, Caleb Downs, Mansoor Delane. Those are the other three prospects Titans have had meeting. They like brought Delane in for a top 30 visit. Downs is an incredibly talented player, and while the Titans don't have an imminent need at safety, if they traded down to 8 or 9 or 10 and he was the best player left, I don't think they'd bat an eye at taking him because he could be a game changer. And Maui Noah, we all know, like, the Titans have a emerging future need at left tackle. It is not imminent. Would Maui Noah have to play guard in the NFL given some of his physical limitations? Those are questions that I think would make me put him last on this list, along with the depth at offensive line that happens to be in this draft class. I think I would probably go Delane, Downs, Maui Noah because of positional value and the fact that Delane is a shutdown corner who I don't know why he's not really like in play in the top five as much as corners have been in other drafts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go Downs, Delane, Maui Noah, because I feel like Downs is still one of the best players in the draft, closer to that Jeremiah Love tier than the others are. But I mean, I agree. I don't love the safety thing, but we're talking, you know, trade down scenario. I'd go Downs, Delane, Maui Noah. But this is it. This is, I mean, it, you know, to have nine, like I said, last couple ones are trade back guys. Titans only need three names on this board, realistically, right? Because they don't have Mendoza on their board, and everyone knows he's going number one. They wouldn't have him on their board regardless. It's 2, 3, 4, right? Like, you need three names on this list for the if you're the Titans, and they probably will do it that way, right? Like, no surprises. Three names, we're guaranteed one of them. Let's just go in order. 1, 2, 3. These are the guys we want for us. That's Arvell Reese, Jeremiah Love, and Carnell Tate. For the Titans, I imagine it's some combination of Arvell Reese, David Bailey, and Jeremiah Love, but we'll find out next Thursday.
Yeah, I totally agree. Interesting that we have three Ohio State players and two Miami players. No, four. We have four Ohio State players and two Miami players.
National championships. I still wonder how they make a better run at it.
I agree. In the top nine here. So that is our top nine board. And I do think that these other picks aren't worth including, because if the Titans end up at four and Reuben Bain's still there and Jeremiah Love's still there and somebody from below calls and says, hey, we want Bain, we're coming up, here's what we'll give you, the Titans need to be prepared, obviously, for that potential scenario. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and build a board a little bit more quickly, but board nonetheless for round two and round three. Stay right there. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. All right, welcome back. Justin, we're going to just keep building. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep these nine players on our big board. We're going to start building out from pick 35. We're just going to make that assumption that a huge chunk of players goes in between, obviously, and start building with who we want to fall to 35 and then have some other options there in case they don't fall or, again, the Titans trade down. So where do you want to start adding players to this list, Justin?
Obviously with 35, you know, there's what, 31 picks in between or whatever that you can't control. So this list needs to be a bit longer, a bit bigger. I think we might sort by position as opposed to going in order 1 through 10 or however many names we're going to put on this board personally. Let's start with wide receiver. You know, talked about investing in Cam Ward's development. I don't necessarily expect them to draft Carnell Tate at 4. I caught myself there because I was going to say I don't expect them to do that at 4. But technically, you know, if they draft Jeremiah Love, that's still an investment in Cam Ward's development. But
right. It's
probably not going to be a receiver at 4, so I think it's imperative that they get one at some point. They might view the need very differently than us. You know, Simmeray, DK, Elik, Io Manor, Calvin Ridley, Wandell Robinson, they've got guys at the position that they obviously value, right? And other one, you know, two young players they're invested in developing. So I don't know that they see it the same way we do. Or that I do. I feel like I'm bigger on the wide receiver train than most people are. I get it. But we're going to start with three names at wide receiver. That is Omar Cooper Jr., Denzel Boston, and KC Concepcion, if you will, are the three names that we have here. I expect at least one of them to be available at 35. Probably not two or three of them. I mean, definitely not three of them. Probably not even two of them. We'll see. You guys all know Denzel Boston is my preference here due to the size and what he'd add to the room that they don't currently have. But I think all three of these guys are fringe, in my opinion. They're like fringe first-round picks. So you'd love to get one of them at 35 if possible.
I do think like this is that if I had to put these positions into tiers, like the first tier of receivers to me is Carnell Tate, Mekhi Lemon. And I think you throw Jordan Tyson in there for the sake of, I do think he'll be the second or third receiver drafted,
yep. Even
with the injury concerns. And then this is the next bucket, Cooper, Boston, Concepcion. After that, I think there is a drop off in the prospect level. As much as I love Jeremy Bernard and other day two guys, this is a different grouping. These guys belong in their
Chris
own
Bell
tier.
Chris Bell would have been somewhat in this grouping if he's fully healthy.
Okay, Chris Bell without the ACL tear maybe fits in as well. To me, I think all three of these guys are first-round picks. In my mock draft, spoiler alert, that I'm publishing Thursday, I have all three guys going in the first round. I even have a little run on receivers sort of in the mid to late 20s because that's when I think that they will come off the board. Is there a chance the Titans want to trade up and try to snag one of these guys? I think there's always a chance, and Mike Borgonzi could definitely surprise us. It's not like he's been on the job a long time. We don't have a long history of, you know, patterns to expect what he might do. I do think we are taking him at his word when he says he wants more top 100 picks and not less. So I would be surprised if the Titans traded up. There's also been a lot of reporting recently that the Titans aren't looking at a receiver early in this class. I think the specific report was, yeah, they're not done adding pass catchers, but it's not their top priority, and they're probably looking more in the range of rounds 3 and 4, which is basically what they did last year. And after adding Wandale Robinson, it makes sense. It makes more sense to me if they also add Jeremiah Love. Like, if you take an edge rusher in the first round, and then in the second round, you're still not addressing the playmaker need that you have on offense, because you go, I get it, interior O-line would be great. A tackle option falling is a need at a premium position. Maybe like something crazy like a cornerback or a linebacker even. Like, I get it. But if you go two rounds without adding a playmaker, I'm going to be a little frustrated by that approach. Regardless, these are the three receivers I think that make the list here. And anyone else like a Chris Bell or a Chris Brazel or take your pick would go under the next crop of names we're going to add, so we're not putting them in with this grouping.
Agreed. At 35, I think you've got to probably, if you're targeting receiver and one of these three is not available, you don't take a wide receiver, I don't think, at 35. So let's do interior offensive linemen. Obviously, they got big holes at right guard, possible hole at center, depending on how you view the guys they've got in the room right now. We're going to add three names, I think, to this list, and I think they're the obvious ones. Emmanuel Pregnon out of Oregon, Chase Bisantis out of Texas A&M, and I think that we're going to put Keelan Rutledge out of Georgia Tech on here. You guys know I'm a big Rutledge guy. He's starting to get some first-round buzz. I mean, it's getting out of control. It's getting to the point where I don't know where he's going to go. Does he go in the first round? Does he go in the early portion of the second, Rutledge? Or has it all been a smokescreen, and is he really more like a 66 overall guy? We'll find out next weekend, essentially. But I think these are very clearly the three best interior linemen in this range, right? We know Vega Aone is going to go in the first round. I tried not to butcher that in the first round at some point because he's the best interior blocker. But I think these three are next guys up, right? Emmanuel Pregnon, Chase Bisantis, Keelan Rutledge. Do the Titans have to take interior linemen at 35? They might feel that way. Maybe. You know, they've got at least one really big hole there right there. Maybe they have zero holes. Maybe they got a backdoor agreement to re-sign Kevin Zeitler. Maybe they like Austin Schlottman and Jackson Slater at center. We don't know. The way we feel is that they've got two pretty concerning sized holes, and it's certainly got to be in play at 35. It's certainly within the realm of possibility.
And the scenario that Mike Borgonzi referenced when he said, yeah, we could start two rookies from day one on the interior of the offensive line, shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, I've done it before when I was in Kansas City. That year, they spent a second round pick on Creed Humphrey. They did that.
Yeah.
Now, the difference, the Chiefs were coming off, what, a Super Bowl appearance? That pick was 63 overall. It wasn't 35 overall. Both in the second round, pretty big difference in value. That's closer to 66, obviously, than 63. But at the same time, you know, Pregnon has a little bit of first round buzz. I don't think he makes it into the first round personally, but I do think there's buzz there. If he's sitting there at 35 and you feel like this is the best guy to come in and, again, help Cam Ward, then I think you pull the trigger. Like, I would have no qualms with them spending this kind of a premium top 35 selection on a devalued position like offensive line, especially if they've already done that at number 4. You got to get the most out of your 4th overall pick if you do take Jeremiah Love, and the way to set him up for success is to make sure he has solid blocking in front of him. So I think it just makes sense, like the way they attacked defense in free agency, attacking offense through the draft, building a young core that can grow with Cam Ward, I think is like a strategically sound way to build up the roster. And offense matters more than defense. Like, ultimately, correlated to winning, you know, Superhorn's done these charts, put them out on Twitter. Better offense correlates to winning more than better defense. You got to have a baseline passable grade on both sides of the ball, but you're not going deep in the playoffs. I know we saw the Texans get carried by their defense, but when it came time where they needed to play offense, they couldn't do it. I guess you can argue that everybody who made it to the conference championships had a high-level defense, but the offense is really You can't, it's not a defense wins championships league anymore, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Get the offense good, and then we can focus on the defense.
You can't complain about Cam Ward being sacked or complain about the offensive line and look at the interior right now and think it doesn't need some pretty serious investments. Now, I think we're going to shift gears here to edge rusher. And I'm not going to put many names on this list, in all honesty. I'm going to keep it fairly short. I mean, you let us know in the comments, but I'm going to go with Gabe Yakus, the edge rusher out of Illinois, and Malachi Lawrence, the edge rusher out of UCF, who had the big NFL combine and is going to get drafted somewhere in the, I say this jokingly, the 20 to 60 range, right? Like, he's all over the board right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know that people are going to agree to leave this list this short, but I'll mention some of the names. Like, for me, R. Mason Thomas, super undersized. I'm not that interested. Cassius Howell, pretty undersized, short arms, maybe a designated pass rusher, didn't really play the run all that much. I don't know that that's a Robert Saleh guy, right? Like, I've been pretty big on Zion Young out of Missouri, but I'm going to, again, put myself here kind of in the Titans' shoes a little bit. There's like an alleged off-field, you know, question marks with him. Not a super athletic guy, not a lot of ton of sack production. I like him because of how he can defend the run. I think he's got really good, active, you know, high motor, powerful hands, like some of that stuff that really translate. But we know that, you know, how much emphasis Titans put on character. I don't know that Zion Young's going to be a Titans guy. That's why I left him off this list. I explained why I left Cassius Howell and R. Mason Thomas off this list. I don't even think R. Mason Thomas is in this conversation at all, personally. But I've seen some people have like an early second round grade on him. I don't agree with that personally. Anyone else? The edge rusher? Like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel pretty good about keeping the edge rusher. There's a great chance they get an edge at four. If they don't get one at four, I feel like the board's going to fall better elsewhere at 35. Like, Keldrick Falk's not going to be there, right? I don't think. TJ Parker. I mean, I could see TJ Parker there, but I'm not super high on him in all honesty.
Same.
You want to include Caleb Banks in this, and he's an interior guy, but if you want to include him, I kind of get it. You know,
I do. I do want to throw Caleb Banks on here. The Titans had him in for a 30 visit. He's like, they don't necessarily need another tackle, but he's like a pass rushing, explosive first step, interior pressure kind of tackle. And I think that if he, like, I expect him to go late first round, actually. But if he'd made it to 35, I think there's a conversation happening in the war room and somebody's arguing to draft Caleb Banks. So I think he at least belongs on our list.
I get it. They brought him in for a visit for a reason. And I mean, some of that might be to, you know, clear up the injury because he's dealing with a broken, you know, foot injury right now. But wide range of outcomes on him. If he busts, he's going to bust hard. If he hits, he's going to hit big and be dominant. That's kind of the way I see Caleb Banks. Let's shift to offensive tackle. And I think we're going to keep this conversation a lot shorter. You know about the future need here. You know, Dan Moore may be entering the last year of his tenure. I don't want to say, I almost said contract. It's not the last year of his contract, but they could get out of it, you know, next offseason. And I think they'd probably love to do so if they could find the right fit. Max Ehinachor out of Arizona State for me, and Blake Miller out of Clemson. Ironically enough, both these guys played right tackle, not left tackle. I do think that factors into the evaluation here. My opinion, total opinion, it could prove to be very wrong. I think Ehinachor could play left tackle. I see left tackle, movement skills, athleticism, agility, all that good stuff. I get, again, my opinion doesn't matter. Throw it out the window if you want. I get more right tackle vibes from Blake Miller. I think, like, my prediction is that Blake Miller is going to be a right tackle in the NFL. And if I'm right about that, I probably wouldn't put him on this list because I think J.C. Latham is the right tackle for the Titans. But because I'm not saying that with, you know, 100% end-all, be-all, I might be wrong. I think Blake Miller is worth the 35th overall pick. Four-year starter at Clemson. I don't know why he's not getting more buzz. He's really, really good. I think he might be a first-round pick, in all honesty. Like, I think there's a surprise shot he goes in the first round. So that's why I've got him on this list. You could argue Caden Proctor, Caleb Lamu as well. I'm limiting this to Ehinachor and Miller because of how high I am on them, but, you know, to each their own.
I think, like, what happens every year is that analysts and fans and fanalists get obsessed with skill players, and we always push them up our mock draft boards. And then guys like offensive tackles, especially when you get into the 20s and like the truly top skill players are off the board, teams just build in the trenches and take what they consider those premium position there. And I think Proctor, Lomu, Miller, even Max Ihinatior, who is like widely viewed as like a maybe fringe first rounder, but more likely early second rounder, I think they all make it into the first round. So I think we can keep those two guys on my on the list here, because I think Miller and Ihinatior are the likeliest to fall out of the first round, but I don't think any of them actually do. We're not going to add Caden McDonald. He's like a two down run stuffing tackle. It's basically, if they wanted one of those, they would have not traded to Vondre Sweat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree with you on Zion Young, and we mentioned why. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I think we had two corners just because of, I don't think they're going to take corner at 35. I really don't, but I really like Chris Johnson, who you've got on your list there, San Diego State. Super athletic, versatile, man coverage, zone coverage, high football IQ, ball production. And I also really like Colton Hood out of Tennessee. Mm. I'm going to put him on this list as well. Super, super athletic. A little rough around the edges still. I think the technical skill set's still a work in progress. I might add one more. I might throw you a curveball, actually. I don't, and you didn't know this was coming. I forgot to tell you off air. Keontae Scott out of Miami.
Yeah.
Versatile nickel corner safety hybrid, really good football player, high football IQ, ton of production. I could see a world where they take Keontae Scott and see him filling. Remember, they hired a nickel coach. You know, they think highly of the nickel position. Right now, they've got Marcus Harris and pretty much nothing else there, unless they're going to play like, you know, Tony Adams, a 30 safety look. I think Keontae Scott is like, you know, plug and play nickel, pretty high on him. I think he's at least on the short list.
You know, Brandon Cisse, I think if we're going to include Scott, we should just throw Cisse into the mix, because he's another guy that's ranked around the same range.
Borderline and then just for the first sake, round pick at corner, very much like in the Colton, cut from the Colton Hood cloth, where he's like super, super athletic, but is kind of still learning how to play corner. But he got by on his athleticism a lot. And if he figures out the rest, I agree, because I think he's a borderline first-round pick. I've got all those corners. Like him, Hood, and Johnson are all like fringe first-rounders to me. So for me, you know, at 35, Titans might be super high on one of them. We have to at least account for the possibility.
Right. And then quickly, Justin, just for the sake of building this out to the trade-down range, I'm just going to add Zion Young, D'Angelo Pons, Jacob Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob is so good. He's going in that second round for sure.
Chris Bell, Jeremy Bernard, and I have one more to add, and that is Chris Brazel. And I think we cut off our round two board there. Yeah. That pretty much covers us for basically, aside from a true stunner falling to 35, basically the best options that could fall to them and the best guys that they might have to take if nobody falls to them. This is a pretty comprehensive second round board, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Good board. I'd like to think that whoever they pick at number 35 is probably on this board right now.
I agree. All right, we will now hit the final board that we're going to do. We're going to pick 66. So I'm scrolling down a bit in our little player board mocker here.
Yeah.
And I think we start maybe, do you want to go by position again?
Well, I don't know. I think we might go a bit more miscellaneous here, but like I see a couple names already, like, you know, Gennings Dunker, for example, like if they don't go guard at 35 and they don't get any of those other like Pregnon, Bisontis, Rutledge, he might be the next best guard on the list. I thought he was being a bit overrated at one point, but I think now we're, you know, this is the appropriate range for me. It's like he's maybe the fifth best guard in the class at best, I would say, but you know, he might be in this range. Trayden Stukes, the corner out of Arizona, they had on a pre-draft visit. I really like him. A lot of ball production, a bit of an older prospect, but I think highly of Trayden Stukes and you know, play that big nickel. He played a lot of, for his size, he played a lot of big nickel, which is really interesting, but we just talked about nickel potentially being a hole there. I'm going to skip over a lot of these names personally.
Really? Wait, I don't know about you. I'm going to add Jack Golday, because didn't the Titans have him in or they met with him in some capacity.
I can't maybe remember it wasn't now. I interviewed him. I probably reported it. It wasn't a visit. I would have remembered that.
It wasn't a visit.
I think he told me they had a combine formal. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. If that was all it is, maybe this isn't as big. But I still think like day two linebacker is higher on the list of probabilities than most Titans fans maybe want to accept or realize. Skylar Bell, we talked about him last week on day two receiver targets. So I'm throwing him on the list. And Derek Moore. I mean, Derek Moore, if I got my way, the Titans would hold off at edge until pick 66 and cross their fingers and hope and pray to the stars that Derek Moore falls to them, because I think he would be an awesome addition as that, you know, as a rookie designated pass rusher type of role.
Yeah, really good pass rusher. He's injured. He's been injured. So there's a chance he slides there. I don't know if they, I'm going to add Caleb Tiernan, the Northwestern tackle, because again, he's the next best tackle, in my opinion. Like, if they don't take Ahina Chor or Miller at 35, there's no chance those guys are there at 66, in my opinion. I don't know that there's any other... Like, the tackle, it kind of falls off a cliff, in my opinion. I don't know that there's any other tackle at 66 I'd consider, realistically, besides Caleb Tiernan. That's why I add him to the list. Keep scrolling down, in my opinion. I wouldn't add any of these names personally. Personally, I wouldn't add any of these names.
Okay, there are only two guys I'm looking at that I would potentially add. Josiah Trotter, who I think PFF has severely underrated with as a 66th player on their big board. I think he's like going to be a second-round pick. And Danny Dennis Sutton, who I think is sort of an intriguing guy if they did decide to wait on edge and Derek Moore was gone. I think Dennis Sutton, he could fall to the fourth round potentially, but I think he's an interesting player. You don't want to put Trotter or Sutton on this list?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan in the world. I think he's kind of maxed out a little bit, but he's going to be, at 66, for example, he's going to be a good NFL player. I think he's going to be a rotational, he's a really strong run defender already. I think he's going to be a decent, I think you know what he is as a pass rusher, which is why he's not going in the first or second round. But I think he probably gives you like 5-6 sacks every year and a strong run defender. At 66, you know, premium position, I wouldn't have had him on this list, but I get it because of everything that I just said. I'm going to keep going down. Personally, if I was you, like, I'm like, yep, none of these guys personally at 66. Not for, there we go. There's one. Kyle Lewis, the linebacker out of Pittsburgh, is one that I like a lot. Super athletic, super rangy. The only other one that I haven't even seen yet, obviously PFF is lower on him than I am, is Ted Hurst, the receiver out of Georgia State.
It's a good one.
None of these names for me. None of them at 66 for me for the most part. There we go.
There's a lot of guys on this list that have been talked about by Titans fans as potential day two targets, and I'll just name a few of them here. Connor Liu, the Auburn center. Chandler Rivers, the Duke cornerback. Sam Hecht, Kansas State center. Anthony Hill Jr. is a linebacker out of Texas who PFF has 86th on their board, and a lot of people have projected him to go way higher than that. Sam Roosh, I don't think the Titans need to be looking at tight ends, but if they truly want to just go best player available, there's an argument to be made for Sam Roosh at 66. Jake Slaughter, the Florida center.
I'm going to be blunt with you. I think a lot of these guys, not every guy you mentioned, but I think a lot of them are fourth round picks.
Okay.
And I don't have them for me at 66 personally.
And that was what my question was going to be, was a lot of these other names that we're skipping over here, Are you skipping them because they are more in the fourth round range for you?
I think either we're fourth round or not position of need. Like, I skipped a bunch of running backs here. I love Grayson Halton. I don't think they're gonna go D tackle, you know, unless it's the Caleb Banks thing, right? Like,
yeah,
he's kind of undersized. I don't know that that's a Robert Saleh type. You know, like, he's really fast and explosive, but he's undersized. Yeah, I think they had Eli Stowers in for a visit. I don't want them to go tight end. Will they? I don't know. Maybe AJ Halsey. I mean, we've had some safeties. Like, AJ Halsey's a really good, versatile, you know, can play deep in coverage, can do everything, right? Can play around the line of scrimmage, really good tackler, but also a lot of ball production on the back end. I'm good personally, to be honest with you.
All right. I mean, I'm good too. I would just say people are going to be mad that we don't throw Bryce Lance on this list. And
I'm interviewing him in an hour. Can't wait to get on the phone with him. So excited about
I think there might be some local fans who wonder why Joshua Josephs isn't on this list. I think there are some interesting character stuff that Mike Borgonzi might not necessarily want to bring in.
Agreed.
Antonio Williams, definitely an interesting receiver. Mike Washington, if they don't take Love at number four,
yeah,
definitely an interesting back, but not my favorite. Elijah Surratt and Zachariah Branch. I mean, there's a ton of receivers. Romello Height, another edge who is older, maybe a little more developed.
Really undersized, though.
Really undersized. Yep. So yeah, I think our list is good.
He deserves more buzz than he's getting. Sorry, the Auburn edge, Kieron Crawford, is so much fun to watch. I love him.
All right, Justin, we have built out a big board. There are 41 names on it.
Ooh.
It covers picks 4, 35, and 66. I think we did a good job. Might save and post this just to have it, so we'll figure that out after the show. But that's it. That's it for today. Monday, off the books. Let me tell everyone what's coming up this week. So Wednesday, we're going to have Dave Hellman on the show. Dave Hellman is co-host of The Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays. He also co-hosts Building the Beast with Dane Brugler, which was like a weekly show where he and Dane just talked through prospects as Dane was going through film and ranking these guys. So really interesting to get Dave's opinion. Dave's the guy who told me, texted me last week and said he thinks the Titans should just say screw it and draft Maui Noah at 4 overall because he really fills a premium position need for the long haul. And if he doesn't work at tackle, throw him at guard and just make it work there. So I'm interested to hear Dave's thoughts. And then on Thursday, we will have Connor Orr from Heed the Call, from Sports Illustrated, from the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast, joining the show to talk through a very specific and particular prospect based on an SI profile that he has written. That profile doesn't publish till a bit later this week, so I can't tell you today who we're going to talk to Connor Orr about, but we get great insight on a player that I think Titans fans will want to hear about. So can't wait to see what's coming up tomorrow. We got to figure out tomorrow. Friday we'll be live, but that's the week of shows. And then it's draft week, baby. We'll do our final dueling mocks. You and I still haven't done like a day 3 sleepers pod. Maybe that's tomorrow. We'll do a draft predictions pod. And I was thinking, Justin, we talked about this and we told our audience last week that we are going to do Thursday morning, draft day morning. We're going to do a live stream that day. But what if we also just went live every day next week in the morning like we did for free agency week?
Ooh, I'm into it. I like it a lot. Definitely something we should strongly consider. Love going live. We'll talk about it because we could also book more really good guests potentially for week of drafts week. We'll figure it out, but you're going to love the rest of this week. I mean, we haven't had a guest on here in a while. I don't think you guys mind. You seem to like the Justin and Justin show, but bringing on David Hellman and Connor Orr later this week is going to make for really, really good, interesting conversation. So until tomorrow, when we're back talking Tennessee Titans and NFL draft, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.